Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. As you could tell by the title, we will be discussing 9 different types of trusts that you can have in your relationship. As a board certified couple and family psychologist, I talk about trust all the time. It comes up in my couples therapy sessions. It comes up in my individual therapy sessions. So I thought that I would share some different areas of trust that are often minimized or overlooked altogether. Usually, when we talk about trust in a relationship, we usually talk about emotional trust, we talk about physical trust, and we talk about sexual trust. But today I'm going to be briefly covering those, but also sharing with you 6 other areas of trust that you can explore, build, or rebuild in your relationship. But before we get into all of that, what is trust anyway? When I look up the definition of trust in the Cambridge Dictionary, it says to believe that someone is good and honest and will not harm you, or that something is safe and reliable. So it's a belief, it's a knowing that someone is good and honest and will not harm you, or that something or someone is safe and reliable. Some things that come to my mind when I think about this definition and when I think about trust in relationships, I think about words like guard, safekeeping, accountable, having faith in, to be confident in, to be secure in, right? And so this can manifest in a lot of different ways. What looks like trust in my relationship may look very different in terms of trust in your relationship, because we all have different expectations. But in general, there is a basic trust that is required for the foundation of any relationship. We're looking for commitment. We're looking for mutual respect. We're looking for discipline, humility, a willingness to acknowledge mistakes and flaws, and not just acknowledge them, but to correct them and learn from them. We're looking for empathy and kindness, consistency. Another word that came to my mind was integrity. So as you can see, there's lots of different aspects of character that we're looking at when we think about the word trust. Now, before we get into these, I do want to say that some of these and the way that they show up altogether will depend on the type of relationship you have, and it will also depend on the stage of your relationship. So I won't go into all of that too much. I'm just really going to be briefly sharing with you 9 different areas of trust that you can build or rebuild in your relationship. As I go over these, I want you to know that these are not in order of importance, right? So there is going to be some overlap, or violating one area might also violate another area. So go ahead and grab your pen and paper or open the notes app on your phone, grab a drink, and let us get ready to tune in. First area of trust is one that we're all pretty familiar in, and that is emotional trust. And this is where we believe that the person is going to be honest with us and is going to take care of us emotionally. They're going to be considerate and empathize with us. So this person is not going to control or emotionally manipulate you. They're not going to gaslight you. They're not going to verbally abuse you and criticize you. They're not going to embarrass you. They're also not going to become emotionally attached or stay emotionally attached to someone else if they're in a romantic relationship with you. But instead, they're going to do their due diligence to care for your emotions. The second area is physical trust. And usually when we talk about physical trust, the first thing that comes to mind is violence and aggression, like punching, hitting, kicking, slapping. But this is more than just extreme measures of physical violations. It can also be things like pushing. You would be surprised at how many relationships involve these slight aggressions, and people normalize them so much that they just blow it off. Oh, she just pushed me. Oh, she just threw something at me. Oh, he just nudged me a little bit when he got upset. This could be things like blocking your physical space so that you cannot leave a room or a location altogether. It could be driving recklessly. It can be making threats to harm you physically. So there's lots of ways that trust can be broken physically. And a third common one that we often hear is sexual trust. And this is respecting my body as it relates to sexual encounters. This means not harming me and having a mutual respect for what I do and don't like sexually. So this means I'm not being forced into sex. This means I'm not being manipulated into sex. This means that I'm not being controlled by sex. It means that the person respects themselves and me enough to have sexual boundaries around our relationship so that we both stay safe medically. It means not taking sex from me when I don't want to have sex. So those are the top three that I often hear: emotional, physical, and sexual. But let's talk about number four, financial trust. Now, usually when we talk about financial trust, we're thinking in terms of our own financial security. We're thinking about our financial futures. But as you all know, the statistics show that a major reason that relationships end is because of finances. And so in a relationship, when we have financial trust, it means that we are open and honest about our financial status. Right now, I know that this one in particular doesn't necessarily apply if you just started dating someone. Remember, as I said, a lot of these are going to depend on the type of relationship you have with one another and the stage of your relationship. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we talk about each of these areas. But let's say you are in a committed relationship. Financial trust means that one person is not doing all of the monitoring and controlling of the finances. Now, I know that sometimes we might both agree that this person is better with finances, and so we're going to let this person take the lead. But taking the lead does not mean controlling. It does not mean hovering over and monitoring where there is a decrease in power in the relationship. Financial trust means that we're both being honest about what was spent, that we're not taking money out of the accounts or making purchases that would affect the relationship or affect one person in the relationship. It means one person is not having all of the things, right, put into one person's name and disregarding paying for it. It means that we're not making financial commitments without first discussing it. It also means that we're not giving away money to family and friends in secrecy. So think about your relationship and think about the areas that we've covered so far: emotional, physical, sexual, and financial, and rate your relationship. How are you doing so far? The fifth area of trust is career and academic. This is an area that I see that is often overlooked, but it comes up so much. And this is where we have a mutual respect for one another's goals, careers, interests. And usually when trust is broken in this area, it means that there is not kindness and respect and honor for one person's career interests or their job, or there's not even faith in one person's ability to achieve, or if there is jealousy or a sense of competition in the relationship, an unhealthy sense of competition, let me say that, in the relationship, this means that one person is being put down for their job decisions. It means one person is being mocked or ridiculed for being in school, or they are being harassed or teased for going to college or for not going to college. So you might find things like snide remarks like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you didn't go to college. Oh, that's right. You think you know everything because you have a degree. Or at least my job doesn't do this. Or you're not better than me because you have this type of job. So this is an area that is really important and can make a difference in the quality of your relationship if trust is broken in this area. Number six is digital trust. Yes, digital trust is a mutual understanding and a mutual respect and accountability and safekeeping of information digitally. This means that there is a healthy level of privacy in the relationship as it relates to emails, as it relates to social media accounts. This also means that one person is not sharing or oversharing personal information about the relationship or about that person via text, via email, via social media. This means that there is a healthy level of privacy as it relates to personal passwords, browsing history. Now, I know that we could probably spend the rest of this episode talking about all the different situations that can come up where you might be thinking, yeah, but what if one person cheated? Or what if we both agree to share passwords? Those are the different nuances that are going to come up and apply to any relationship. So if you're in a relationship and you both agree to have an open policy, that's great. That is a level of trust. Trust is mutual, right? So if we both agree that, hey, you can have the password to my phone, you can see my social media page, you can check my emails, you can answer my phone, you can look through my text messages. Those are some things that are mutually agreed upon. Now, I do know that also if there has been some infidelity, if trust has been broken, specifically in this area, I know that there are times when it is appropriate to agree to have more of an open policy, right? So for a period of time, we might agree that, hey, because you've cheated, in order to make me feel better, I'd like to be able to see your text messages, right? And if you're willing to do that to stay in the relationship, that is okay because the goal is rebuilding trust. But the point I'm making here with this is that it is mutual. It's not where one person is insecure. So it's not a situation where I'm insecure. So I want to know, who are you talking to? Or who is that on your social media? I'm not demanding personal passwords. And if you have noticed those things in yourself or in your partner, then it's time to really explore the quality of the relationship that you have. If one person has to see all of that information, or if one person is demanding and monitoring to have all of that information, then we have some things that we need to discuss. Number seven, intellectual trust. In order for a relationship to go beyond sex, for a relationship to go beyond having a good time, going to outings and going on vacations and all of those fun things that are absolutely necessary for a relationship, there has to be a level of intellectual trust. This means that I can be vulnerable with you and know that I can share my thoughts and my ideas with you. That if you ask for my input on something, that you will honor me, you will respect me, you will show kindness towards me when I share my input on something. So this means that you're going to value my ideas. You're not going to mock my input. You're not going to use sarcasm to degrade me and my viewpoints. So what are you thinking so far? Are you thinking that your relationship needs a boost in this area? Or do you think that, okay, this is an area where I think we're pretty good. We tend to cheer one another on. We tend to value one another's input, even if we disagree. Now, notice I did not say that we have to agree with all the ideas and agree with all the input. But if trust is broken in this area, I can guarantee you that communication is going to be sorely lacking. Because if I think that you don't really value my input, or you ask for my input, and then your response tells me that you didn't receive it, or that you don't respect it, then why would I keep talking to you? Why would I come to you with my ideas? Why would I give you my true input? So think about intellectual trust. Number 8, property trust. This one I find, when I'm talking to people, is one that is often understood, and so it's not discussed until it's violated. But I think we need to be discussing these types of things up front, right? Because we all come from different backgrounds, and so the way that we treat one another's property may be very, very different. So let's say maybe I grew up in a household where everybody shares everything, and you grew up in a household where you don't mind sharing, but you want this person to ask first. So trusting in the area of property means that we're going to ask for permission, or at least discuss if we think permission is even necessary to use the key that I gave you to go into my apartment, or to drive your car, or to use your computer. Would you be okay with me wearing your clothes, or how I handle the furniture in your home? So I'm also not going to look through your belongings. I'm not going to search through your mail. I'm not going to destroy your personal property. The goal here is for me to honor you by treating your property like it's my own. And in the same way that it's not okay for me to hit you when I'm angry, the same way that it's not okay for me to take money out of your account just because I'm upset with you, the same way that it's not okay for me to post something negatively about you on social media just because I'm upset, it's the same way that it does not give me permission to violate you as it relates to your property. There should still be a basic level of trust when it comes to your property. I'm not going to throw a brick through your window. I'm not going to key your car, right? So we kind of think more on the extreme end of things a lot of times when we think about destroying property. But it could be as subtle as not caring for your clothes the way that I normally would if I was not upset with you. So think about property trust in your relationship. And number 9, spiritual trust. And this is where we're going to cover one another's shortcomings in prayer. We're not condemning one another, but we're going to speak the truth in love. And we're not treating one another in a way that damages the other person's soul. I understand that not all relationships will work out. But if we both have a mindset that even if this does not work out, I don't want to leave you so damaged emotionally and spiritually that it impacts the rest of your life, even if we don't stay together. So I'm going to care about you spiritually in a way that is trustworthy. If I say that I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Trust in this area also means respecting your belief system. I think one of the major challenges in relationships happen because we get those warm and fuzzy feelings. We get butterflies. We get so infatuated and excited about the relationship that when it comes down to spirituality, we think that we can change the other person's belief system. And that usually does not happen unless the person decides that they want to change. But trust in this area also means that you will respect that person's belief system, that they're going to respect your belief system, that they're not going to tear down your spiritual values and your spiritual understanding. Spiritual trust also means that they're going to respect you if you are celibate. They're not going to try to talk you out of celibacy. Now, this also means that you have to be committed to celibacy and committed to your spiritual values. But for the sake of our discussion, you want to make sure that a person respects you for being celibate, that they're not using scripture or religious teachings to abuse, manipulate, or control you. All right, so I know that that's very short, but we have talked about 9 types of trust that you can build or rebuild in your relationship. So it's emotional, physical, sexual, financial, career and academic, digital, intellectual, property, and spiritual. So I'm going to end by asking you some questions. If you think about all of these areas, can you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself? Is there an area where you need to improve upon? Do you trust your partner? Why or why not? Now, if we go back to our original definition of trust, it is to believe that someone is good and honest and will not harm you. So it's not to say that this person will never harm you. So we're not looking for perfection, but you are looking for purposeful behavior. You're looking for someone who is honest. You're looking for someone who has integrity. What you're looking for is a belief that this person did not intentionally harm you. Are there some areas that we all need to improve upon? Absolutely. But in general, you have to know the heart of the person, which is why I want to encourage you to pray about these areas of trust. I want you to pray so that you can get the wisdom and understanding and discernment that you need about the contents of your own heart and also the contents of your partner's heart. And usually this will require seeking wise counsel. You want to be able to see your blind spots. You want to be able to know how your personal history shows up in your current relationship for both yourself and your partner. So sometimes this might actually require going to counseling before these areas of trust are broken, or if these areas of trust have already been broken, you can go to counseling for that as well. I want to leave you with 3 scriptures that I think are befitting for our topic for today. And that is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. And that's where we are encouraged to speak the truth in love. So if someone has violated your trust in this area, you can set boundaries. You can speak your truth and speak it in love. You don't have to degrade someone else. You don't have to disrespect someone else. You don't have to be mean, because the point of you speaking the truth in love is because you are trying to still guard this person's heart. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to always sound nice and sound pleasant, but speaking the truth in love means that at your foundation, you're still wanting to honor this person and guard their heart as you're guarding yours. A second scripture is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, where we are encouraged to trust in the Lord. And I like this scripture because when our trust is broken in someone we love, and it is going to happen because we're human, we're encouraged to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not into our own understanding. It's a very popular scripture, but it applies especially in these situations where our trust has been broken, or we are just getting to know someone and we're trying to see if we can trust this person. So we are trusting in God to reveal to us what we need to know. We're trusting that God will give us the guidance and the direction because we are submitting our thoughts and we're submitting our relationship to Him. And the last scripture is found in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, where it says to have faith in God. This can mean so many different things to us collectively, and it can mean so many different things to us individually. But as it relates to our topic today, I think having faith in God means that we will trust Him to work all things for our good. It means that we will remember that God is trustworthy, that He does keep His word, that He is kind, that He is loving, that He is consistent. It means having faith that if what I'm seeing in this relationship indicates distrust, then what does that mean? Does this mean that we need to have some counseling? Does this mean that we need to walk away from this? Does this mean that we need individual counseling? I want you to ask yourself, what does having faith in God mean in this relationship to me? What do I need to trust God in, for, and with in my romantic relationship? If this episode has been helpful to you, I encourage you to share this with your partner so that you all can further discuss, and also share it with a friend so that you all can continue the conversation. Let us move now into our prayer time. Thank you, God, just for another opportunity to come together today on this podcast to talk about 9 different areas of trust. Let us first and foremost ask you for an increased measure of faith in you, that we can trust in you with all of our hearts. Help us to have wisdom to know the areas of trust that need to be built or rebuilt for the sake of our relationship. Give us the boldness to repair these areas. Give us the humility and wisdom and understanding and compassion to allow someone else to rebuild trust in these areas. And also give us the boldness and the trust to walk away from situations where our trust is continually being violated. And it is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Well, I hope that this episode has been enlightening to you, gives you something to think about for your relationship. And that is all that I have for you today. Until next time, take care.